Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you speak to us now through the Holy Spirit, that what is going to be what I have to say will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who picked that reading? It is one of the. It's one of the great readings. It's also one of the more difficult readings. But I thought what I might start off with is thinking about St. Barnabas Day. This is my first. This is the first ever St. Barnabas Day I've ever had. I've never been in a church called St. Barnabas. So, and if you're not in a church called St. Barnabas, you don't celebrate St. Barnabas Day. So I was thinking, has anybody got anything they'd like to say about some memory, something that they remember about St. Barnabas Day or some funny story? No? Next year. Don't do anything bad today because I'll be bringing up the stories next year, all right? All right, what I've got, I have got some activity packs, just to be a little bit different. So if you're in primary school, no, Joe, you can't have one. You have to pay attention to my sermon. If you're in primary school, I've got an activity pack here. If you want to come down and get one, there's a bit of a puzzle, some colouring in. You have to show ID that you are in primary school, all right? Lynn's already tried to grab one. So please come down and get one. It's all about St. Barnabas today. So anyway, one of the things that's always interested me, I've always had an interest in names. One of the things I used to speak to about with my students at Bourwon High, when I was chaplain at Bourwon High, I used to talk to them about what is your name, what are you going to be remembered when people in the future, when you're older or in university, when people remember your name, what are they going to remember? What is your name going to be tagged to? For some, maybe good memories. Others, maybe bullies or... And that was the point of talking about it, about names. Names often bring back memories, don't they? Well, I guess it's why school teachers have such difficulty naming their children, because there's all these students. Funny story, one of my grandchildren was named after a student, and when they told me, I've gone, oh no. Why? Anyway, that's a teacher's curse. Anyway, I'm sure we all have a number of names. Like to some people I'm known as Roy. Fair enough. To others, I'm Dad. To my grandchildren, they call me Fafa. Don't laugh. It means father's father in Norway. Not that we're Norwegian, but that's a whole other story. To my brothers call me Fuf. That is an even longer story. To a few of my friends, they call me Padre. Very creative, I know. But names are very important. This morning's reading doesn't sound very encouraging, did it? Doesn't sound like something you were looking forward to. In fact, if you Google the reading, if you Google the passage, you'll find a whole lot of very different sermons about this passage. In fact, most of them, or a lot of them, are all about giving. It's all about giving. Well, I'm not too sure if this passage is all about giving. I think there is another worthwhile message in it. Barnabas, as we read, was a Levite, which means he was a descendant from Levi. It's believed that Barnabas may have been one of the 70 that was sent out by Jesus, that you can read in Luke 10. You see, the tribe of Levi was a select tribe for holy service. That's what they did. They were to be the sacrifice, the sacrificial thanks for God's deliverance. They were the only tribe of Israel that did not inherit any land. They didn't own any land. Rather, there were cities set aside for them to live in. they were economically dependent on the rest of the community through tithes and gifts to survive. So I find it really interesting that Barnabas had land. A number of commentators believe that this land must have been in Cyprus, where he came from. And the act of selling land and giving the proceeds to the apostles seemed to be in line with not only who Barnabas was as a person, that we would discover if we kept reading all the way through Acts, we would find out more about what Barnabas was like, but it also seems to be more in line with his tradition as a Levite. Let's just say it was more his cultural place at that time. You see, to give all he had to holy service seemed to be what one would expect from a Levite. His real name, of course, was Joseph. But he was given the name Barnabas as like a nickname. Now, if there's one thing we do know about in Australia is nicknames. We are famous for giving nicknames. It took me a while when I started working in schools not to give students nicknames. Some students didn't like some of the nicknames I gave them. Most of the time there were so many at Bourne High it was mate. I couldn't remember most of the names, only a few. But we do give nicknames. And I'm sure if we went around here, we would have a whole lot of interesting nicknames, wouldn't we? You know, I'm sure Cameron's called Cam or Brownie or something, you know. Yeah? All those things, pretty creative sort of nicknames. Some nicknames are abbreviations of our first names, aren't they? Or extensions. My eldest boy's name's Dean, but we all call him Dino. Or it has something to do with our surnames. And sometimes we have nicknames based upon something we've done, good or bad. Well, that's how Joseph got his name Barnabas. Now, when we come to Ananias and Sapphira, we get a very different and difficult story, don't we? Ananias and Sapphira were among the powerful and caring community of believers. Sapphira, this is going to be a surprise, her name means beautiful or pleasant. It is the same name given to that deep purple blue stone, the sapphire. Ananias means Jehovah is gracious. And God certainly had been gracious to him. He had given him a beautiful wife, blessed him with material possessions, forgiven his sins, and brought him into a fellowship of people who truly cared about him. A man couldn't ask for much more, could he? But Ananias did want more, and so did Sapphira. They wanted more acceptance. They wanted acclaim. They wanted to be more than just members of the body of the church. They wanted to be prominent members of the church. They wanted the praise for men. They wanted to be like Barnabas. You can just hear them, can't you? Just the two of them talking. We want special names too. Why haven't we got special names? But as we've heard, that desire didn't end well. You see, Peter made it perfectly clear to Ananias that he didn't have to follow the course he did. He was in full control at every point. This community, this church, wasn't some sort of primitive communism. Private property hadn't been abolished. No one was being forced to sell their possessions. The sharing was voluntary. It wasn't a precondition to enter the church. And I'm sure that even after they had sold the money, they had alternative courses of action. What if they'd been honest with Peter? What if they'd simply said, look, Peter, we've sold this field and really we can't give you all the money, but you know, this is how much we can give. I'm sure the end of the story would have been completely different. It's sad, isn't it? Their names are forever linked with this story. They'll always be remembered for this one act. It's probably why you will never hear their names in the top 10 baby names. It's not a baby, it's not a name you're going to name your children, is it? Instead of getting fame and special names, their names are forever linked with death and shame. So, here's my take-home message for today. Don't strive to be the star. Just let your light shine. Don't envy what others have or do. We don't need a whole church full of Barnabases. You are your own person. You are what no one else can be. And that's you. God loves you, warts and all. So, when we go to church, we can be just who we are. We don't have to play any special games. Church is where grace reigns, where acting ceases. You can hang up at the door along with your hat, whatever you bring to church, and just be you, loved and cared for. As a church, we shouldn't worry about being like other churches. We need to be born Anglican. And over the next few months, I'm hoping to get a very clear picture about what that looks like. I want to understand what it is to be born Anglican. I want to understand what it is, what your passions and dreams and hopes are, so that together we can make this place the place God intends it to be. You already have this amazing reputation amongst my friends who came to my commissioning as a really welcoming church. But on top of that, Christ's church, this church, should be, as the New Testament suggests, glorious. Not because it's perfect, but because it's being redeemed. Amen.